What's up, fans? Thank you guys for tuning in to another fantastic week of the Voice of the Fans podcast. This is your man, Cam. And as always, I got my man, Cleavon Steele, with me. How you doing, Cleavon?
Doing great, Cleavon. How you doing?
I'm fantastic, man. It's March 25th, week 81, big guy. Week 81 of the Voice of the Fans podcast. This week, we're going to talk about some more NFL free agency. We're going to talk a little bit about some NBA topics. Now, give you this week in history, and we got round two, Voice of the Fans Hip Hop Tournament. Let's see how the fans voted this week. Mr. Cleavon, as always, every week we do, number 25, with it being March 25. When you hear the number 25, what's the number that first comes to your mind, or who wore it best?
The seven-time NL MVP, he should have nine, one of the top five greatest baseball players of all time, Barry Lamar Bonds.
Who can argue that one? Who can argue that one? I thought you were going to stay close at home. But, you know, when you see number 25 in the black and silver racing down the sideline, I mean, that's a kind of iconic clip right there. You got to think of Fred Biletnikoff, don't you? Or when you think of number 25 in the green and gold, one half of the Bass brothers knocking home runs out the park. And actually, didn't he eclipse your guys' home run record at some point?
No. He actually set the record at 71. And then Barry Lamar Bonds came through the next season and pushed it to 73.
Okay. So you're a baseball nut. I can care less. I just remember the one half of the Bass brothers doing his thing. Those are some number 25 that I thought of. And I'm going to go stay local, go back to the Seahawks. Mr. Dave Hollis, shout out to my guy, UNLV grad. Dave Hollis wore number 25 back in, what, 88 that was for the Seahawks? You remember that guy? Him and Melvin Jenkins, the cornerback duo for the Seahawks. You remember those guys?
That was a tremendous secondary at the time. And, no, they definitely did work. They put in work.
You catch me on a beer, I tell you some stories about Dave Hollis, though. But I need a couple beers in me first. With it being week 81, pretty preeminent number in the NFL. And I'm going to stick with them same Seahawks. Mr. Turner. Do you remember Mr. Turner? Led the Seahawks to rookie. I think he still has a rookie touchdown record. See, that's an outbreak. When somebody, you catch 13 touchdowns in one season, that's a breakout season. Not when you catch five as a rookie. When you catch 13 and the other guys on, it helps that the other guy on the alongside of you is Steve Largent, but that's a breakout season when you catch 13. I think he may still hold that Seahawks rookie record, wide receiver record. And then, obviously, the leader of the Fun Bunch, the senior veteran of the Fun Bunch, Mr. Art Monk. Who do you think of when you think of 81, sir?
I have to be honest with you, Cam. First person I think of is the same person that you think of, Daryl Burner Turner. He just always caught the deep ball, man, those 40, 50-yard passes down the fields from Dave Craig. Man, he was good for that.
Yeah,
but who wore the number best? I mean he was a good player, but who wore the number best is that guy that was so good that he pushed Jerry Rice out of San Francisco, a guy named Terrell Owens.
Well, yeah, you have to be pretty damn good to push Jerry Rice out of San Francisco. And then on
Jerry Rice. You got to be pretty damn good to push Jerry Rice out of San Francisco, right?
Yeah, and the same guy on Jerry Rice Day, he sets the club record for receptions on that day.
For receptions with 20.
Yeah, that was a hell of a day for that guy. Mr. Terrell Owens, Hall of Famer, actually not a bad guy. Man, we had free agency. We know last week that Tom Brady decided to go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We now know that the Chargers were hoping that he might have come to L.A., but instead he went to Tampa Bay. He went east instead of west. The hole that was left open for him was when Phillip Rivers decided he's not going to come back to Los Angeles. He decided to go to Indianapolis. What do you think is going to be? Who's going to have the better season, Tom Brady or Phillip Rivers? And was that a good signing by Indianapolis? Just a 1 year for Phillip Rivers? That doesn't make sense. Tom Brady signed 2 years at 43. Phillip Rivers signed 1 year at 38. What's your thoughts on this? On those two signings?
Better signing for the Colts, Phillip Rivers, for the 1 year. We'll just see what you got. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers going all in on Brady. Not really sure what he has left in the tank. However, I think Brady will have the more success. I think that it will be refreshing for him to kind of get out of the, Belichick cage, if you will, and just kind of experience new and different things and see what, what he's really all about. He's really only known one system, one thing for 20 years. Granted, it's been extremely effective. So can he replicate the type of success he had in New England? Absolutely not. Can he get the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to the playoffs? That's a good possibility. I don't really think Phillip Rivers is the guy to get the Indianapolis Colts to the next level. I know they weren't really all that happy with the production from Jacoby Brissett in the second half of the season, but I was a little surprised that they thought that Phillip Rivers was the solution to all their problems. I don't really see it that way, but if I could just so sorry to deviate for a second, but I had a friend just kind of chime in to me, and I'm even going to say his name. I shouldn't. I told him I wouldn't. A friend of mine in Atlanta, Derek Duckworth, had this theory. Tell me what you think. The Cincinnati Bengals trade the number one pick to one of the top four teams, still get Tua instead of Burrow, and then sign Cam Newton. What do you think about that?
Sign Cam Newton in Cincinnati to teach Tua?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I was going to ask you a little bit about Cam later on. So since you brought it up, Cam's injury is hurting him right now. The fact that the teams aren't able to travel to see him. He's not able to travel to the team facility, and they can do their once over, kind of do their tune up or oil check on Cam Newton. That's hurting him because nobody understands the severity of his injuries. So with that being said, I don't know why would the Bengals want to bring him in? I like the Bengals trading out of the number one spot. I think they trade one player, one pick later than number four. I like that even better. And I told you I would package for the Bengals, or as a Dolphins fan, I would package the number one, the number 26, and a second or third round pick for next year. Maybe I could give them if I can get away with the third pick, I'd do the third pick. If they want the two, I'll give them the two. So you get two number ones and a three for the unproven Joe Burrow. And they move down five spots. I like that move. They can still get Tua because the only team going to take Tua would be the Chargers, and they're still ahead of the Chargers. I like that move for them, the Bengals. I like that move better than I don't know the health of Cam and where he stands. And Cam, the last two seasons, last 34 games, he's played, what, six games? I don't know that anybody has any confidence in his health right now. So why sign him? And he's You want to say the 19 mil is at a bargain because it's the final year of his contract. If you can renegotiate with him, you probably do so. But it's his health right now. And on the flip side of that, we're going to talk about – we'll still get to that later. I don't know. That's a pretty – I don't know where you guys get that feedback. Somebody inside Cincinnati, you let that out or what?
No, this is a friend of mine that had listened to the podcast, kind of heard our banter back and forth, and just kind of came up with this conspiracy theory that might kind of work. Kind of, you know, we were both kind of jabbering back and forth with regard to, you know, how Carolina kind of did Cam Dirk. And just after all the musical chairs stopped, there's really nowhere for him to go other than the Chargers or Jacksonville. And just, is there any other team that could kind of leverage or, you know, utilize his talents? And Cincinnati was just one of those teams that came up.
Well, again, I was going to ask you about this Cam whereabouts later on, but we get to it now. I think probably the only, we both said Chicago, you know, midway the last season. I told you what it was in week three. He was out of Carolina with Kyle Allen. It was Kyle Allen, or was it Will Greer at the time that had won 4-1 in his first five games, I think. I told you Cam was done in Carolina. I told you right then, before the coach changes and everything else. I told you that. Now that the season's gone, they brought in a new offensive coordinator, the guy from LSU, who actually worked with Teddy Bridgewater in Minnesota, I believe. But he has some familiarity with Teddy Bridgewater. So that's why that was a good pairing. That was why that was a good matchup. And if it's going to work in Indianapolis, it's going to work because there was some familiarity or continuity between Phillip Rivers and Frank Reich. When Frank Reich was the offensive coordinator here, it was in San Diego. I don't think he was at L.A. It was Los Angeles. I think it was San Diego at the time. But the continuity, the similarities, kind of affect that, help that out. So that's why that moves. And then the Panthers actually signed Walker, who the coach was also familiar with. He did some coaching with him and scouted him in college, actually. So that's going to work out. So, yeah, I think the only place left for Cam, realistically, the Chargers say they're not interested, and we'll see if that's really true, but they say they're not interested. That's what they're telling, speaking publicly, saying. But Denver does not have a – they have Drew Locke, who they drafted last year. Are they going to go with the youth, or do they want a veteran in there? Denver, mobile quarterback. Are they scared of veterans now because of what happened to Flacco? Because bringing Flacco in kind of hurt them? We don't know. But Denver is probably the only true spot I see. I don't see anything else for Cam out there at this point, unless he renegotiates the contract and, you know, plays a backup. But he's not a backup, is he? I don't think – if you brought Cam in 9 years after being the number one drafted quarterback, we're 5 years away from him being the league's MVP, I don't think he's a backup quarterback. You bring him in for your starter, I would think. Now, Jameis, in comparison, in contrast, you would bring him in as a backup. He needs to learn the ropes. He needs to learn how to play the position. I don't think it would be a bad idea for Jameis to go back to Tampa Bay and be the backup there and try to learn from Tom Brady. Learn ball control. Learn how to be a game manager. I don't think that would be a bad idea for Jameis Winston. Your thoughts?
I like Jameis Winston in Pittsburgh. Backing up Ben Roethlisberger, working behind Omar Epps, a.k.a. Mike Tomlin, and kind of learn some discipline and some things that will make him a better pro.
Slow down. Has Mike Tomlin... here I go again. I don't know that.
Oh,
Mike
are you about to jump on Mike Tomlin again?
I don't think Mike Tomlin is a quarterback developer. That's what I'm saying. He's had your guy.
Dan Roethlisberger threw for 5,000 yards 2 seasons ago.
Is that Tom? Was that Mike Tomlin, or was that the offensive coordinator he couldn't get?
Jameis Winston, what he needs is a little bit of discipline and a father figure in his life. Okay. I don't think the LASIK is going to get it done. I'm glad that his eyesight is better.
The LASIK is
better. I'm glad that his eyesight is better, him being a quarterback and all. That's a good thing to have. But I'm just saying, I don't think that's what his problem was. I think his problem was he didn't have a whole lot of discipline. He'd gotten by on just his athletic ability for a long time. But once you get to the NFL and they figure you out, because that's what they do, they watch a lot of film, he just wasn't the same guy. So his best landing spot for me is Pittsburgh. Get some tutelage, get some leadership, get some guidance. With regards to what you were saying about Cam going to Denver, I like that, especially since Melvin Gordon is also going there. So now you just have just two guys with just these Stonehenge-sized chips on their shoulder, and they're ready to break out. And Patrick Lindsay, because he's been, relegated to kind of, the second guy, now all of a sudden he's got one on his shoulder too. Yeah, they're out to prove something to the world if Cam went there.
Right, and that's why I think that would be good, interesting. So I'm interested to talk to, number one, Melvin Gordon about that transition, because the league, if you have two good backs in the league, you're doing a good job. So you have Patrick Lindsay, you have Melvin Gordon, two really solid backs. And then I'm interested to talk to my man for the Chargers, Damon Square, who told me Patrick Lindsay or Philip Lindsay was a Pro Bowl running back. And I wasn't sure. And then he went out and put up 130 on him. And then I talked to him next week. He's like, yeah, I told you what was going to happen. That was a defensive guy telling me that. And that was really interesting. So that was a good 1-2 punch back there that the Broncos have. You pair that up with Cam Newton and some play action. You get the receivers. You got Sutton on one side of the ball. I don't remember the other guy, but you got Sutton. Sutton it was the number two receiver. So that might not be a bad pairing, as you say, with these big boulders on their shoulders and something to prove there. Then Drew Lock gets another year to develop. That's an interesting move. What do you think about Todd Gurley signing with the Falcons, going to his old college stopping grounds?
Oh man, that's a feel good story. I think that the Rams, in no way, shape, form, or fashion, would have ever released him if they didn't know something that we just don't know. I'm not trying to say that he's damaged goods, but he's damaged goods, man. Otherwise, you don't take a $20 million hit to your cap, and you don't admit the mistake that you made 2 years ago, unless you just really don't feel any confidence in him whatsoever.
I think it's a $10 million hit, and then they do have to pay half the salary, so that's a significant amount of money coming out of your salary cap for this year. But they're overpaid. I mean, they're overspent. The Rams went all in for on the Super Bowl run. They got to the Super Bowl, didn't win it. They're thinned out, man. They're overpaid. They overpaid everybody. They overspent. Now they're gonna have to get rid of your guy, the receiver Cooks, because he has. He can't stay healthy. He keep concussion issues, so he's not worth the money that they paid him. Now they're gonna have to turn around and pay Jalen Ramsey, because they spent two number ones on him. So they went all in, and they're going to have to build their offensive defense around Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, and then obviously Goff and their new running backs, and you still have Robert Woods, you still have Cooper Kupp. So those are at least solid receivers that they have. They got a couple young receivers out there as well. But they're hoping their line matures a little bit, but they just overextended themselves trying to make the Super Bowl, which they made the Super Bowl, but it just wasn't it wasn't lasting. It wasn't consistent. It wasn't they weren't able to just to keep that alive. It wasn't sustainable the way they played that over the last 2 years. Going into this new stadium, you know, I'm surprised that they kind of let them go. As you mentioned, they wouldn't have let them go if they didn't know something that everybody that hasn't been public. They kind of shied away from saying that he's injured. Last year, McVay said that he was an idiot for not playing him when he did actually produce when he played him late in the season. Todd Gurley, I'm talking about. But, I mean, if Todd Gurley can regain some kind of health, him paired with Matt Ryan, paired with Julio Jones, might that give Atlanta some life? Can the defense stand up? Is this has got to be Gwynn's the last year for what is it? Danny Gwynn? What's the coach's name? Quinn.
Mike Quinn. Yeah.
This has got to be his.
When I look at the Atlanta Falcons right now, I'm looking at them like the 2004 Los Angeles Raiders, man. I mean, like, wow. If all of your older talent just performs like they have found the fountain of youth and haven't performed in the last 5 years, but very close to what their ceiling and potential was, then yeah, they can do some things. If they don't, it's just a bunch of old players that are just old.
But no, they just have old players and veteran players in key positions, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Todd Gurley. But their defense is young. They got young players on the offense. They got 2 years ago, they got 7 draft picks were all defensive players. 2 years ago. So, okay, they were rookies. So you can't expect a lot out of the rookies, right? You can't expect a rookie defense to carry your squad. But they were out of the Super Bowl 3 years ago. They were in the Super Bowl. They drafted all defense. Came back next year, wasn't as great. You know, okay, their rookie second year, they have the sophomore slump, what have you. If he can't get these young players producing and playing well this season, I mean, well, he's done. I mean, I don't know how long do you let Dan Quinn. I mean, how long does Arthur Blank just keep paying these guys for nothing? And they've had a lot of talent. You can't complain about the talent. You brought in the coach of Seattle Seahawks, their defense coordinator from the Super Bowl team, the Legion of Boom. You bring him down here because you have a lot of offense, no defense. You bring the leading offensive coach, defensive coach down to the team, and no, they're just inconsistent. I mean, just looking at the Falcons, I didn't mean getting on the tangent about the Falcons, but they have been extremely inconsistent over the last several years, and I know they're counting on a lot of young players, but, I mean, how long is this leash that Dan Quinn has? I don't know. some other changes that we've seen was Mariota signing with the Raiders. Is Mariota pulling a Tannehill on David Carr? Is he hoping, you know, just to get an opportunity with John Gruden and to make things look good? Because if you remember, when he came out of college, John Gruden really was impressed with Mariota, although Mariota has been very highly inconsistent in the pros. But if he get ready to pull a Tannehill, what do you think goes on there?
Well, I don't know how much more of an incentive you can put on a starting quarterback than bringing a number one pick in the draft 4 years ago to be the backup. I mean, there's no margin for error there. If Derek Carr doesn't come out and just light it up, I mean, well, my goodness, Marcus Mariota is sitting in the wings, man. You better be on your P's and Q's, man. Not, you can't have two bad games in a row. I mean, the pressure is, the fire is under his ass. You know, excuse my friend, so to speak. I mean, there's just no other way around that.
But does Marcus Mariota really scare you, though? I mean, if you're David Carr, he was the number one pick. We get that. He got replaced by Tannehill. Does he really scare you, though? I mean, seriously.
Oh, man, he absolutely scares me. If you look at the coaches that Marcus Mariota has had before, all these kinds of coaches, you look at no one that's ever given him an opportunity to flourish in their offense, and he's angry that he got kicked out of Tennessee, got replaced by Ryan Tannehill, for crying out loud.
Hold on. You said it was a rebirth of Ryan Tannehill. Now you're crapping on him, huh?
No. I said I'm happy for Ryan Tannehill for getting out of a toxic environment that wasn't able to take full advantage of his abilities and his skill set. That being said, he was a wide receiver in college, so let's not get it all twisted. Marcus Mariota was the Heisman Trophy winner and the number one pick in the draft.
You've
got to be a little bit embarrassed when Ryan Tannehill comes to town and takes your job, and rightfully so. He did a better job.
Well, he's another guy playing with a big chip on his shoulder, and we'll see how things transpire this coming season, how worried David Carr is going to be if Mariota ever gets that opportunity to step in the role and take his job and, you know, just kind of give him the Tannehill treatment. People on that segment one, big guy, let's take a break here. We're going to talk about Tua and Dallas Cowboys offensive line is falling apart. We're going to talk about that here in a moment. Let's take a break. All right, Mr. Cleveland. Now, your guy had the Cincinnati being creative with their number one pick and trading it to dropping back to number four and still getting Tua and a couple picks, I guess. So you must have been impressed by Tua's video that he put out a couple nights ago, showing him doing some dropping back and throwing the ball, quick release type stuff. You must have been very impressed by that. You and TJ and all your other Tua fanatics must have been really salivating over that video, huh?
Man, it looks good as new. Replenished, refreshed, repaired. Looks like the quarterback that won the national championship. And I wish we could get TJ on the freeway right now. As a Pro Bowl receiver, he'll tell you what it feels like to have someone with that type of talent throwing him the ball.
Interesting. Man, come on. Come on, no, just stop. Cut it out. The video, we saw him throw. We didn't see him complete the pass. We don't know where the pass went. We just saw the guy drop back. So to say he's as good as new, come on, cut it out, my man. Still, the injuries are still there. You have time to heal, true enough. You should be healthy, true enough. The draft boards, I see them still have them at number five to Miami, which scares the crap out of me. I don't want to see that. But I'm glad you're excited. I'm glad all you Tua fans are excited.
You should be excited, Cam. If you're a true Dolphins fan, you should be excited. Because if he is there at number five, there is no way. I'm so sorry. If he is there at number five, there is no way the Dolphins are going to pass on Tua Tagovailoa.
I told you what I do with number five. I mean, I told you what I do with my number five pick.
Oh, no, you come up with a whole lot of different scenarios. What I am telling you is that if Tua Tagovailoa is available with number five pick, The Dolphins will make their selection in 97 seconds.
Man, that's going to be so scary. Now, and we're going to be on pins and needles for the next 3 years trying to decide if the guy's healthy, when's the right time to play him? Should we practice him? Do we give him the red jersey in practice? When do we just let him play? They're going to be, for the next 3 years, this is what's going to be going on. Is how do we let this thing transpire? How does this thing play out? That's what's going to be happening for the next 3 years.
Well, hold up, Cam. First off, what you have to do is let Ryan Fitzpatrick do his thing and just kind of see how the whole thing plays out.
That guy's a touchdown machine.
Okay. And then after that, you have to see what Josh Rosen has left in the tank. And then we get to Tua. But that, you know what I'm saying? Let's just let Ryan Fitzpatrick get out there and do his thing.
I think
Ryan Fitzpatrick, with the way his Warriors is putting his squad together, he might be able to get them to 7-9.
Exactly. And three of those games won't be because of Fitzpatrick. Three of those games are going to be either because of defense, somebody messes up on the other side, we get a pick and run it back.
The two best corners in the league, right?
They got the shutdown corners on lock, right? They made some decent free agent signings. You don't hear me talking about them. We'll see how things play out. But come on, man, you got to cut it out with the Fitzpatrick. Come on, stop it. I mean, because Fitzpatrick is going to get four wins. He's going to win four games on his own. And so I'm looking at a 6-10 season with him starting. That's it. So, yes, if we draft Tua, I'm going to want to see Tua by game 5 or 6, period. I'm going to want to see what he got. I hope he's better than Rosen. Like, if we're going with the number 5 pick, I hope the number 5 pick is better than the number 10 pick from 2 years ago. I hope he's better than that, but we just don't know. Is he going to be able to stay healthy? Is he going to be able to read the plays right? Because at Alabama, he didn't necessarily have to read the plays. He had some great receivers, just like receivers getting wide open. And here, throw it over here because he's going to be wide open. He can beat the number 3rd or 4th cornerback of an opposing team when you're playing Mississippi Valley State. He just, you know, his receivers can run right by those guys. And he can do it 3 or 4 different times a game, and they can win by 47-3. There's really no pressure being put on him. So, yeah, just fling it out there. He'll go get it. I mean, I didn't see him reading plays. I didn't see him dropping back, had to show his agility in the play, in the pocket. In fact, when he had to drop back and show some agility, he had a broken ankle. And when he had to drop back and show some more agility, he got sacked and a broken hip by Mississippi, I think it was, Ole Miss. So when you're talking about now, he's playing Buffalo Bills, the New York Jets, or who you want to say, the Carolina Panthers, the professional players, everybody has professionals on the team. What can Tua do? I'm not so sure about it. That's why I'm nervous about your pick. That's why I'm nervous about it.
Well,
talking about offensive linemen, Kevin Frederick retires, man. Another young guy retired before he's 30. This is do you see? I mean, this is another guy that happens. We just saw a couple years ago from the San Francisco linebacker retiring before he was 30. Is this a way of things to go? We're just going to see this happen. One guy. I mean, it is one guy out of 1,500, but he was a big guy, especially for the Dallas Cowboys. What's your thoughts on this retirement?
I definitely think that you will see it happen more often, more frequently. Players taking their health a little bit more seriously and just deciding that, you know, they are not willing to risk or jeopardize, you know, long-term health issues for, you know, a couple of years of glory. Back in the day, that was never, ever the case, whether it be because of the mentality or just because of the information that was available. I would like to think it was probably because of the information that was available. These players know what they're risking, and they have like certain injuries and the issues that they have are, you know, quite possibly going to be long term. So you just, if you can make that decision, you know, before your 30th birthday and live with it, I commend you for it.
Yeah, he's had a decent career. 5 Pro Bowls, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, if he plays another few more years, he could actually have 7 or 8 Pro Bowls. And that's probably pretty much a Hall of Fame career. You know, he had the same injury that Mark Schlereth had, who said, Schlereth said it took him 2 years to get back to where he felt good about his health and he felt good about being on the field again. But then by that time, he had another nagging injury. So he never really got back to 100%. So, I, you know, I guess, hey, if you stash your money, if you're smart with your money, put it away. You had to play for the Dallas Cowboys, and sure, the Cowboys would welcome him back at any time. And then this happened, unlike what Ricky Williams did to the Dolphins when he decided to retire a week before the season started, he's retiring a month before the draft is supposed to happen, which gives them plenty of time to kind of fill the position as best they can. You know, obviously he is an all-pro center, so your chances of getting another all-pro center is not as likely, but it gives you a good opportunity to do the best you can to replace him. So we'll see what the Cowboys are able to do. Most importantly, he has his health, and he chose his health over playing the game of football. So, like you said, more power to the kid.
Absolutely. I'm not quite sure why you brought Ricky Williams into this, because after he sat out that season, he did come back and give the Miami Dolphins 1,800, and was the leading rusher in the league. So, yeah, I think he kind of atoned, you know.
No, I mean, come on. At a week before the season starts, though, bro, come on, man. I blame the head coach. If you really want, I was just giving an example of that was kind of bad timing for the team, and they didn't have a chance to prepare for his absence going in a week before the season. The Cowboys have a chance to prepare for his absence, you know, 6 months before the season begins. But come on, man, Rich, come on. I blame the coach. I blame Dave Wonstadt for that whole fiasco. If he just wanted to smoke weed, build a hut in the back of the fucking training facility and just call him when training camp starts. Hey, Rick, we need you out here for a few hours. If that was the whole problem. But Wonstadt, I don't know, that's bad management, not knowing your personnel, not knowing who you got on your team, not knowing the likes or dislikes. That's just not knowing your personnel. Because you got to kind of make these accommodate the league's MVP if you want to. You got to accommodate this guy. If that's all he wants to do, let him do that and just call him when game time comes. Because you know he's going to be ready. And, yes, he did give the league 1,800, yes, when he came back upon return. Just imagine what he would have done if he stayed a year or two earlier than that. Come on. I don't know how my Dolphins keep getting into the conversation here. I've been trying to keep them out and not really talk about them. But Cleveland just keeps bringing them up.
You can't hide. The Dolphins can't hide.
And this year, man, This season here. What do you think about Jarrett Stidham? All signs look like Stidham is going to be.
I think nothing of him. Come on, man. Don't insult my intelligence asking me a Jarrett Stidham question.
It looks like
you don't think anything of him, and I don't think anything of him, and the New England Patriots don't think anything of him either.
He's going to be the starter.
Cut that out.
He's going to be the starter.
He will not. I would bet you, but we know how that kind of goes. That's the question we're on time. But you already know Jarrett Stidham is not going to be the starting quarterback week 1 for the New England Patriots. That is an impossibility.
Oh, You don't think so? Well, what are they going to do? They're going to draft somebody?
Oh, I absolutely know that he will not be the starting quarterback, and so do you.
Okay. From all I'm hearing, everything is pointing to J.S. that's starting on week one, you know, providing the season starts. My question to you was, do they make the playoffs? Did him or not? Will the Patriots make the playoffs this season?
If Jared Stidham is the quarterback, they will not make the playoffs.
Okay. So no confidence in Stidham, he says. Zero confidence in Stidham. Well, you hear Cleveland say, on one hand, he has zero confidence in Stidham, and then you also heard him say he doesn't want to bet. So I'm not sure how confident he is.
But my reasons for not wanting to bet have nothing to do with Jared Stidham, audience. And you know, you absolutely 100% know why I'm a little bit hesitant and skeptical.
Okay, because of that head coach Bill Belichick over there and what he can do. Fans, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some random topics. You know, we had the NASCAR did an interesting thing over the weekend. NCAA tournament was canceled, as we know. The Olympics was being postponed possibly the next year. We're going to talk about either one of those things and how to kind of play off each other. Let's take a little quick break, Cleveland. Welcome back, fans. This is your man, Cam. Each and every week, we talk about this week in history. Educate Cleveland on some of the things that happened in our lifetime. A little bit before my time, Cleveland, before yours too. 1872, March 26th, Thomas J. Martin was awarded the patent for the fire extinguisher. Black man created the fire extinguisher, or he got the patent for the fire extinguisher way back in 1872. 100 years before I was born. 1937, March 26th, William Hasty appointed the first black federal judge. This is March 1937. 1965, March 21st, 3 days ago, was the anniversary. Was the Selma Freedom March, where Martin Luther King and marching for civil rights back in 1965 and came over the Pettus Bridge there in Selma, Alabama. That's a different world, man. We talked about the South earlier, but I was in Alabama as well, man. It's a different world down there, P.I. Mr. Cleveland, as you know, the NCAA tournament was postponed, and now we hear this week that the Olympics is going to be, or the NCAA tournament was canceled, and now that we hear the Olympics are being postponed. If you are a senior in college right now and you were looking forward to making the tournament, think about the Dayton Flyers, who are probably going to be a number one seed in this year's tournament, where they're not going to have a tournament anymore, probably a senior laden team. Or everybody who competed and was training on this four-year schedule to make the Olympics this year, whether it be their last year or their first year, or now they might be edged out by someone else. It's a sign of the times that they have to postpone these games or cancel these games, so we get it. It's not really like on the players or the colleges or the organization, just kind of bad management, if you will. But what's worse, missing the NCAA tournament or potentially not being on an Olympic team? What would you think would be worse?
Much worse than this, the Olympic team, Cam. The earliest you can get back to Olympic competition is 4 years. So that's got to be worse. Yeah, they kind of postpone, like you're saying, they're postponing it a year, but at the same time, these guys have been training for 4 years to do it. College, yeah. Guys are in their early 20s. If they were really that good, they could A, go to the NBA, B, go to the G League, C, go overseas. For some of these Olympians that do things in very obscure sports that's really the only place that you do it at, yeah, much worse.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about that senior. I mean, some of these guys, you know, they're pairing the three seniors together, and I can't speak of a specific team, but just the situation. Three seniors
That's rough when you're 22 playing hoop, but, I mean, when you're throwing the discus, and this might be your last time to throw the discus, you know what I'm saying? You don't do that anywhere else. So.
Yeah.
And Olympians are at the tip top of their profession, the tip top of their discipline. So if these guys in college are at the tip top of their discipline, they're gonna do it again. These Olympians, maybe not.
Yeah, it's a tough way to go. Either way you look at it, man, it's kind of a tough way to go. And you know, I kind of feel bad for both athletes in both tournaments, man, in both disciplines, if you will, because I can understand that senior, man, the senior who isn't going pro, who can't go pro, they've kind of come together, and I'm sure there's a few on that Dayton Flyers team who just come together for one remarkable season. You know, they're not going to go pro. They're not D-League material. They were just good basketball players, seniors in college who had a really good road, a really good wave. And then there's sprinters in like you say, in Olympics, at the tip top of their game. But next year, there's that other young sprinter coming out who's just a half a tick of a second off, and who's just working to improve their game. And now that they might, with this extra 9 months that they have to prepare, they might be bumping them out of their position on the Olympic squad. So it's a tough scenario either way. Again, this coronavirus has impacted the sporting world another way that the coronavirus has impacted the sporting world. And it's largely unfair. It's largely unfair to them. So a tough out there. Cleavon, I'm not sure if you noticed, but NASCAR had a cyber race over the weekend. Had Fox televised it. Fox announcers announced the game. Were, I think it was about 11 actual NASCAR drivers simulated a game, or simulated one of their races on the video game. Had the whole setup in everybody's homes, and they actually simulated the race. It drew over 9 million people. What's your thoughts on this? And do you think this could possibly be the wave of the future?
I am not impressed with video games, Cam. Replicating what, you know, human beings do. That being said, could this be a wave of the future? I think absolutely. You know, those esports have become, you know, extremely popular. Cats don't want to, you know, compete and, you know, as physical prowess to what it is that they're doing. So, yeah, I think that's the wave of the future.
So let's back up. When you say you're not impressed with video games, is that to say you don't play video games? You don't have an Xbox? You don't have a PlayStation?
What I what I'm saying when I say that is that being really dominant at a video game is not the same as being really dominant in a sport.
Okay, so we can say...
And a lot of people try and attribute the two as kind of the same.
No, clearly. Clearly, we know Tom Brady.
Oh, man, those e-score guys will tell you, man, it is just as physically grueling as anything the pros are doing.
Come on, settle down.
With the controllers, with the sticks.
Settle down, man.
Those guys on the sticks make $1 million a year nowadays.
Okay, come on. There's a difference in kind of what you're saying now. I haven't heard anybody say that because he lines up, because controlling Patrick Mahomes, he thinks he can get out there and get on the field and play like Patrick Mahomes. There's two different scenarios there.
But you have heard of people doing the driving simulation, all of a sudden getting opportunities and jobs and things that they wouldn't ordinarily be able to do because of how well and how successful they were on a video game, correct?
Okay, but, see, so this is where I'm going at. The driving simulators, that is much closer to somebody than somebody actually controlling LeBron James and then thinking he can get out on the court and play like LeBron James. Those are two different, very different situations there. The driving simulator is you behind the wheel controlling the stick, or very similar to you being behind a steering wheel, okay? Very similar to that. You or me controlling LeBron James and actually getting on the court and doing what LeBron James does on the court are two drastically different scenarios. And I'm not sure that any of these NBA 2K esports athletes would ever try to compare the two. You follow what I'm saying?
I follow what you're saying, but just because you do the simulation really well doesn't mean you're Jeff Gordon. You're going to get out there on the track when it's really, really real. And when you get to pit stops, you're going to know what to do and how to,
the threat,
more that goes into it than just a simulation and just playing.
I'll give you this. And I don't recall the NASCAR driver's name. I don't recall his name. This happened about 8 or 9 years ago. Went to a NASCAR event, and the guy was a rookie driver at the time, and we got a chance to sit in a trailer, and we raced against the NASCAR driver. That was my first time in this little racing simulator. 9 years ago, it wasn't as advanced as it is today. But we got a chance to legitimately race, and he told us before and after the race that this is very similar to the cockpit of a NASCAR. It's very similar. The steering, the gear shifts are very comparable to what he actually does in the car. Now, again, we're not driving the car. We're not bouncing up against the walls. We don't have a 2,000-ton car right beside us as we're taking off, hearing the rumble of the car. We don't feel the rumble of the shakes, and there are some physical differences there. However, he did clearly state that there were a lot of similarities to the NASCAR event or the NASCAR simulation that we did and what he actually goes through. He told us that, and, you know, I stunk on the game. The steering was so sensitive, like when he said that, and I was thinking about the steering, how sensitive it was, like, you know, you have to actually physically turn the wheel for the car to turn. But on the NASCAR, I mean, you barely kind of tap the wheel and you're doing a 360. So it was a little sensitive for me to believe that. But that's what he told us. And so we got to actually race against him, which was kind of funny. You know, it was kind of fun. You racing against a real true NASCAR guy and blah, 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 blah. But he did say that there was a lot of similarities to that. So that's what I would say. That is the closest you're going to get. Playing golf against Tiger Woods is not going to be the same if you're playing golf on a video game. Obviously, when you're lining up at quarterback for Patrick Mahomes is not going to be the same as your lineup against Russell Wilson, et cetera, et cetera. We know that playing basketball. I just gave you that example. There's going to be some differences. But the race car driving is probably the closest that you can get. So, not obviously you didn't tune in, but there was 90 people that tuned in, and I'm sure 85% of those were south of the Mason-Dixon line that tuned in for that event. But interesting. Just want to share that with you and give you something to think about there. Now, speaking of the NBA 2K, you know there's 2K leagues that they have, right? There's 2K leagues that they have every year. That's actually been postponed because of the coronavirus as well. I get all the updates about the NBA 2K league. I talk to the people about it, and you know, they welcome me to go to New York and kind of see how they have their drafts, how they play, where they play. But as you mentioned, these guys are getting paid big bucks to play NBA 2K in this 2K league. It's really off the wall. Would you be interested in seeing LeBron James play Giannis Antetokounmpo in an NBA 2K game where it's live, they're mic'd up, you hear the trash talk, and then like a tournament, if you will. Giannis playing LeBron playing Luka Doncic, Luka playing Steph Curry. Would you like to see this tournament of guys, NBA players playing the 2K as themselves, as other players? Would you tune in to see that versus tune in to see the NASCAR event?
No.
Okay. Plain and simple, no, huh? Not interested.
It's not similar, man. I understand that people kind of get into that simulation, like, oh, this is, you know, virtual thing, but I'm just not people.
But again, the NBA, I'm not arguing that the NBA is similar at all. I'm not arguing that the NBA is
close. Why would I want to watch professional NBA players play a video game in some sort of competition as if it was like the same thing? It's not even remotely close to the same thing.
Okay, that's fair.
It's a computer simulated game, and no, I just don't subscribe to that. So sorry.
Okay, cool deal. This week we had a couple of teams, and we have more to come this year. We know that Tampa Bay is going to launch their rebranded uniforms here coming up. The Atlanta Falcons, I think, is going to announce a new uniform logo. Well, we saw the Rams introduce their new logo. What's your thoughts on the Rams' new logo?
You know, I tend to be a little bit more traditional when it comes to uniform changes. You know, sometimes they're subtle, sometimes they're a little bit more dramatic. I know that they try and, you know, capture certain markets and demographics, with, you know, which is why they do it. But we'll see where it goes. I mean, it's 2020. I mean, they're trying to, you know, come back to L.A., kind of create a splash, kind of create their own, you know, persona. So we'll see where it goes. But I'm a little bit more of a traditionalist when it comes to that. So I'm not quite sure where to take it. I mean, if they're popular and they win, that's great. But you know, you're just going to leave behind a lot of fans that have grown up on a certain, you know, image. So
let me ask you a question, Mr. Traditionalist. How many lime green Seahawks jerseys do you have?
Zero.
Oh, you're not buying into the lime green?
No.
Wow. Unbelievable. I don't believe you have zero, but, you know, I'll take your word for it.
I have two jerseys. I have a blue home Cam Chancellor, and I have a white away Will Thomas III. Those are the only two CR jerseys I have.
Okay. All right. So I wasn't a big fan of the leak uniform that was leaked out on the hat a couple of weeks ago. And this new uniform or the new logo with the horns coming out of the L.A. on the L.A., I thought it was kind of cheesy. And Eric Dickerson agreed. Eric Dickerson has no problem voicing his opinion on what the Rams do. And there have been a ton of, on Twitter, you just type in Eric Dickerson Rams logo, you'll see a ton of renditions that fans will come up with the new Rams logo. Some of them combining the Rams head that's kind of tilted forward and the horns. And then the L.A., I think they could drop the L.A. out of the whole logo myself. There's no other Rams in the NFL, so nobody can confuse the Rams with maybe the Charlotte Rams, or nobody could confuse that. Confuse them with the Seahawks, the Chargers, the you know, Green Bay. Nobody's gonna confuse the Rams. There's only one Rams, right, in the league, whether it's St. Louis, whether it's L.A., wherever they are, there's only one Rams. So they have that name already. The ram head with the horns, you got to keep that. You got to keep the horns. And you add the ram head, okay, but you got to keep the horns. Like, you can't go away with that. Broncos added the Bronco head. I mean, kind of slanted is more Bronco headish than anything else. That's okay, but I like the orange with the D and the Bronco coming through. It was better, I thought, with the horse on it. I thought that was better. But you got to keep that. You got to have the horns. And if you add the head, okay, but he still has to have the horns. And, again, if you go on Twitter, you can see what Eric Dickerson has. I think I may have posted it or retweeted it as well. I think they can just drop the whole L.A. They're trying to cram L.A. in there. We know you're in L.A. I mean, come on, stop it. It's the L.A. Rams. We already get it. We get the idea. We get it. Just Rams head with the horns coming out of it. If you want to tilt his head, okay, the 2000 version. But obviously they're doing it because they're going into the brand new stadium. Rebranding, sell more units, going into the stadium, make a little bit more money. I totally get that altogether. But they can drop the L.A. out of the logo because it doesn't need it. I mean, we know who you are. We know where you are. Did you notice that the Chargers updated their logo?
Did not notice. They didn't make a big splash about it.
Yeah, well, they didn't need to. It was a very modest modification that they did. It actually looks really swell. They're more going to the more adopting the traditional powder blue that everybody knows them for, and kind of a softer yellow. So it looks really swell. And they, like you said, they did make a big splash. So yeah, everybody bought in. So good job out of them. Cleveland, let's take a quick break, sir. I need you to get ready because what we have coming up next is the hip-hop bracket that everybody's been waiting to hear. Everybody's been waiting to give their feedback on. Okay, Cleveland, second round of the brackets, moving on to decide who goes on to the Sweet 16. Let's start with the East. East bracket, we have My Philosophy, the number one seed against the number nine seed. Why is that? We probably should have been moved around here. We probably should have did a reseeding here at the top 32, but it is what it is. Who moves on, My Philosophy or Why Is That? By KRS-One, both songs actually by KRS-One.
And of course, My Philosophy, Cam, being Why Is That, although off that edutainment CD, that was a great song. And go with My Philosophy, however.
I agree with you. If you say Why Is That, I understand that as well, but I would agree My Philosophy. Just so much of a classic. We got LL's 4-3-2-1 over Fight the Power. These practices tough, man. Micah Tower, 4-3-2-1.
I'm gonna go with the anthem, Cam. Do the Right Thing anthem song.
Fight the Power over the remix. Fight the Power lives on, huh?
Fight the Power lives on.
Check the Rhyme. What is this? A number 14 seed, Check the Rhyme, takes on the number 6 seed in the Big Papa. What do you have moving on?
That's a tough one, but I'm going to have to go with Big Papa.
Yeah, that's kind of that's tough, but it's easy at the same time. It's a good competition. We got some great competition going on here in the East seed. We have the number 2 seed, Kareem, versus the number 10 seed, Nas, New York State of Mind.
Cash moves everything around me. Kareem get the money. I'm a dollar bill.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on to the West seed. West region. We had an upset last week. The number 16 seed took out the number 1 seed. I Get Around now is playing against the number 9 seed. Ain't nothing but a G thing. This is a tough competition here, but guys, which one do you have moving on?
Well, I'm creeping in, Cam. Got to go with nothing but a G thing on that one.
Okay, so number 12 seed, Dr. Dre comes back again against another one of his previous works, Easy Does It, the 12 versus the 13 seed, who both pulled an upset last week. Let Me Ride versus Easy Does It.
Going to have to go with Eazy-E on that one, the NWA Compton Posse.
Eazy-E? Hold on. We got to have to talk about that one. I make one phone call, the guy's coming like the Gotti Boys. Eazy Does It?
Boy, you should have known by now. Eazy Does It. Yeah.
Woo. Boy, you should have known by now. Okay, we got the number 6 seed, Hail Mary by Tupac, going against the number 3 seed, Q. Come with me, Hail Mary, run quick, see. What do we have here now? He goes, today was a good day, though. Mama cooked breakfast with no hog.
This is a weird matchup, Cam. I'm going to be honest with you. This is a weird matchup, but if I just had to pick one, I'm going to have to go with, yeah.
You got to go with
Fat Burger, man. You already know I'm going with the Fat Burger.
You got to go with Cube on this one.
You already know I'm going with the Fat Burger on that one. 2 a.m.
Okay. Cube, number 7 seed, Once Upon a Time in a Project, goes up is another Cube Tupac matchup. Cube goes against the number 15 seed in So Many Tears. Once Upon a Time in a Project going up against So Many Tears. Oof. Who do you got?
I'm going to go with my better judgment, Cam. I'm going to go against my heart. And I'm going to say So Many Tears just because I think it's a little bit more universal and I think it has a little bit more of an impact. However, myself, as a freshman at the University of Washington, the freshman at the University of Washington is looking at me right now saying, like, what are you talking about? I could be possibly bet against once upon a time in the projects. But at the same time, some of your tears was great. Tears passed through.
Hey, yo, you better tell them something. What? What? Oh, my goodness. So many tears. The only way, because it's more universal, and because, man, that's a tough one, big guy. That's a tough one.
What you want the versatility, right, Cam? I mean, if you talk, I mean, you know, once upon a time in the project, it's for a very small, specific demographic that really appreciates it. So many tears is much more universal.
So many tears. Beat the number 2 seed, and now you haven't beaten the number 7 seed? Whew. All right, number 7. So many tears moves on.
How the bracket was served up. I'm just observing.
Oh my goodness. That, whew. Okay. Boy, this is good. This is some tough competition here, man. Okay, moving on to the South bracket. We have the number 1 seed in Juicy up against Drake in the number 9 seed, Forever. And I don't know if that's as much discussion here, but what do you got?
May not mean nothing to y'all. I understand nothing was done for me. Going with Forever, man.
Yeah, Forever over Juicy? Whoa, what?
I do.
You got the 8 beating, knocking out the 1 seed, huh?
I got 4 of the heaviest hitters ever taking on one guy. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Drake, Kanye, Wayne, and M take out one big. I'm so sorry.
Okay. Oof. We got How High, Red and Meth, the number 12 seed. You like these lower seeds moving on. Red and Meth, not the number 12 seed, How High, against the number 4 seed, Ludacris with Area Codes. Man. It got to be Eric Cody.
Tough one.
It got to be Eric
Cody. You think Codes?
It got to be Codes, man. It got to be Eric Cody, man.
Cold.
You got How High in this one?
I did kind of going into it, but I do like Codes. I got to go with How High.
Oof.
I got to go with How High, homie. So sorry.
Oof. Oh, no, man. We're going to have to come back to that one.
It's a tough one, and definitely the audience, you know, please never feel free to chime in and give your opinion, but it's just a little bit too much, man. It's Red and Meth. Adver, Luda, and Nate.
I mean, Luda's so cold on this song, though. He's just so cold.
Oh, he is.
He's so cold.
For sure. And everybody, you know, I can't say everybody, but I can say a lot of people that can relate to that song. And, yeah, it was kind of a rite of passage to kind of know some of those area codes. However, excuse me as I kiss the sky.
A little bit bigger. Woo! Woo! I don't know. I can't put it down. I've got area codes on this one, man. We're gonna have to go to the judges on that one, bro.
We can go to the judges on that one. That's so far. That's the one I would have the most difficult time. Just really,
we're gonna have to go to the judges on that one.
You know. What are we going with?
since we're going to the judges on that one, we might have to go back to the judges on projects and So Many Tears too. But that one, this one for sure. And fans, you're the judges on this, so we're going to be hitting you guys up for your feedback. The next one here is Mass Appeal, the 6th seed going against the 14th seed. I'll Be That by Redman.
Mass Appeal.
Mass Appeal. Moves on. We have a number 10 seed by 2 Chainz. I'm Different going against the 2 seed, Lil Wayne, 6'7", 6 foot, 7 foot. I mean, Lil Wayne wants this one, bro. I can't even listen to you.
Wow.
I mean, Lil Wayne.
Again, kind of a weird matchup, but we'll go with Wayne on this one.
Hey, come on, clean that one.
Not Wayne's best work, but, you know, it's up there, so.
Like I said last week, Wayne could have chopped that up maybe three or four times and had 4 hits out of that. I mean, he ran for 6 minutes, bro. I think he ran for 6 minutes. In the South Sea, we got Lose Yourself versus My Mind Is Playing Tricks on Me.
I'll defer to you on this one because I Sit Alone in My Four-Corner Room Staring at Candles is, way up there on my list. So
that's a cold line right there. That's a cold line. When he says, I've been chewed up, spit out, and booed off stage. What? What happens next?
Lose Yourself did win an Oscar. I mean, let's not kid ourselves about this. But
I mean,
I'm just saying.
I mean, come on.
For 90, I'm just saying, for at least 2 years, My Playing Tricks on Me was in constant rotation.
Yeah, constant rotation, but Lose Yourself, bro. That's global, man. Global.
So we'll go with Lose Yourself. So, again, the global presence, the accolades, lyrical dominance is there. So I'm comfortable with that, with Lose Yourself. It's a tough set, but, I see where we're going with that.
Put Your Hands in the Air, the number 12 seed by Busta, who knocked out Redman last week. Oh, excuse me. Was it Redman knocked out? No, he knocked out Redman. He did. It was Redman. All Falls Down by Kanye. Oh, shit. You're talking about rotation. Both of these, I mean, Put Your Hands in the Air had the high school band's playing this, so. By Busta. What do you have? All Falls Down, Put Your Hands in the Air. I think I would lean to Busta on this one. But All Falls Down, man, that was.
Got to lean the Busta direction. It's tough. That's where we're at, man. You know, we're down to that part of the game, so.
Dude, this is a 12 and 4 seed. That's a tough man. I got to lean on Buster on that one. Put Your Hands in the Air. I mean, just.
We'll lean on Buster for that one.
The way that hit, bro, it was just sick. Next round, we have another Kanye hit, Through the Fire, 6 seed versus I Used to Love Her, 3 seed, 6 and a 3. Both Chi-Town. Who makes it out of Chi-Town?
Common. Makes it out of Chi-Town in that matchup.
Yeah, that was so classic. His delivery on that song, like the way he made you think in that song. But that Through the Fire was tight though. Through the Fire, it hit. It had the and pull it on your heartstrings. And then finally, we have the number 10 seed versus the number 2 seed. Number 10 seed is The Ring, Tech N9ne, and then Eminem, Till I Collapse. Like, I don't think there's really a competition here.
Till I Collapse, bro.
Yeah, until I collapse. that has to be it, man. So now we named our top 16 songs that are moving on. We have two songs that we're gonna have to go. We're gonna have to go to the judges on. We're gonna have to go to the judges and get their feedback for this week before we see who actually moves on. And that's gonna be So Many Tears or Once Upon a Time in the Projects and A High in Area Codes. Those two songs will complete the bracket for this week.
That's the one. That's the one. Ooh, I'm waiting to see what the audience has to say for that one.
Man, chime in. We're going to put a poll up here on Twitter and Facebook. So be sure to check us out on Twitter. What's Good in Sport on Twitter. Give your feedback on which song moves on. Check the group, Voice of the Fans on Facebook. Cleveland, let them know where you going to have it at.
They can find me at Clevie Wonder on Twitter and Clevon Steele on Instagram.
Well, I'm going to tag you in it anyway, big guy, but we got a couple of hitters, man. We got a couple of hitters that we need some help with. Thank you, Clevon, as always, for tuning in, joining me for this week of week 81, to complete week 81, I should say. It's always been a great time to do this, man, even during the time fans stay home. Make sure your hands are clean. If you go out, make sure your hands are clean. Bring some sanitizer. Don't cough in nobody's face. General hygiene, man. Just general good hygiene stuff that your mom and your grandma taught you guys years ago. Don't cough in nobody's face. Don't let nobody cough in your face. Brush your teeth. Make sure you have clean hands. You touch some steel. You touch some metal. Wash your hands. Take care of yourselves out there. We want to see you guys back or have you guys chime in next week on our show. Want you to be able to listen to our show. Take care of yourself, Cleveland. And as always, thank you guys for making our voice your choice.
Thank you for making our voice your choice.